Welcome to Ever Beyond, 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 Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio and everbeyond.info. And No Borders Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning. This is September the 15th, 2013. This is Ever Beyond with JP, and tonight my guest is a dear friend. We talk long into the night. Well, it's my night, it's his afternoon. We discuss things. Things that people discuss. things that we discuss are not the same as things that most people discuss, but we have interesting conversation nevertheless, and I thought let's sort of cut a little window into this strange world that we inhabit when we're conversing. Tonight my guest is Thomas Hughes, and we're going to be talking hopefully about some multidimensional aspects of the natural world that we live in. So, without any further ado, hello Thomas, are you there?
Hello JP.
Excellent, excellent. Let me just crank you up a little bit. There we go. So, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
How's Texas? Is it warm?
Warm, but not as hot as it could have been. It was pretty warm today, but, you know, I'd say it got into the low 90s, high 80s today, because there's been a lot of cloud coverage today. So, all right. Wasn't too bad.
Right. So, we got quite a lot of listeners, but not many people in the chat room. If you'd like to join us in the chat room, do join us on wolfspiritradio.com/wolfchat. That will take you into the main Wolf Spirit Radio chat room. You can also go to everbeyond.info and click on the radio show button. Just click straight on it, and there's a chat room there. Where else is there? Oh, No Borders Radio has a chat room. There's ScottishSovereignsOnTheLand.ning.com. That's where there's another chat room, but that's quite a mouthful. But there you go, NoBordersRadio.com or .co.uk should work. So, since there's nobody... seemingly not many people around to ask questions, let me ask some questions of you, or you can ask some questions of me if you like. The other day we had a conversation. We were talking about some of the things that have transpired, and some of the things that people have said, and kind of putting a lot of it together. I'm starting to get an idea of a certain ancient history that involves this planet that at some time is called Maldek, at other times is called Tiamat, and yeah, I'm sure it's stuff like, you know, in England we call Germany Germany, but in Germany they call themselves Deutschland, and they, you know, they call us Britisher and stuff like that. So everybody's got their own kind of local word for it, and that there was a planet in this solar system that was destroyed, and it seems that there was a there was a reason it was destroyed, and there were actually quite a few stories about the destruction of this planet, and that's one of the things that I'm fascinated by. First of all, like, who did it? And why? When you spoke about the hairy folk, the Sasquatch people, a long time ago, you said, I remember you said it, that they came from this planet that became the asteroid belt and was destroyed. And they came here through the pyramids. Can you take it from there, Tom?
Well, I had lots of questions, as I always do. I've never stopped asking questions. It's probably one of the things that irritated the adults the most when I was a child growing up, is that I always ask questions. And, you know, kids aren't supposed to ask questions. So I got in trouble for that a lot. But in 2008, when I started with the Sasquatch people, I asked the female I interacted with, I asked her, I said, where did your people come here from? And she said that we came here from a dying world. And she showed me things. That's the thing when a communication goes on. A lot of people call it telepathy, but I call it mind speak or mind talk. Because sometimes you hear voices, but there's always emotion. You feel with it. There's impressions, and there's also images. So I was getting words from her and images and impressions. So it kind of gave me a foundation to build a framework on as far as what this planet was. She didn't tell me that it was in the solar system. A lot of times the Sasquatch people I talk with, they will not answer questions directly unless you ask a very direct question. And then you have to ask questions about the answer to get the full meaning of the answer, because even things there, the answer may not cover your entire question. So if you want details or more exacting information, you have to ask. And so I did. I asked. And as I was going through my awakening process, and I'm still awakening for anybody who has a question about that, I felt somebody said, aren't you still waking up? Yes, I am. Thank you for asking. Anyway, sorry.
It gets busy in there, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And so when I started doing more research and allowing more information to come into me, I came across the Kuiper's Belt. I came across information about pyramids on Mars that we have pictures of, and NASA has airbrushed those pyramids out of the picture so that nobody knows they're there. But they're there. And so memories started coming back at that point about pyramids here and on Mars and on Moldauk, which is now the Kuiper's Belt. And that's when I asked her the question. I said, was your home world Moldauk? Was that the home world of our people? And she said, yes, you're starting to remember. Keep going. So I asked her more questions. And what happened is that there was basically a comet or an asteroid, whatever you want to call it, that went towards the sun, and of course the sun gobbled it up. But it was enough to throw Moldauk into an extreme state of confusion. It was enough to rip the atmosphere off Mars, and it was enough to make more landmass on this planet than there was. That's why the continents split the way they did. There used to be just one continent for the entire world, and that was Pangaea. The rest was just water. That's why this was known as a water planet, more than a land planet. But the continents broke apart, and that's why we have all the continents that we have today, because of this thing that came through the solar system. And the refugees from Moldauk and Mars used the pyramids to come to Earth. And so there was a population increase as well as continents being split up. I hope I'm giving you adequate information on that. I'm kind of lost in the information stream right now, so is there another question? Or
Yeah. So there's... okay, so my theory on Pangaea is that the Earth was once covered with a smaller... Well, the Earth was much smaller and has subsequently kind of grown like a mushroom, and like the cap of the mushroom just splits apart. That's what happened to the continents. And it's grown from the inside like a big mushroom. That's my Earth theory. Because all the continents fit together.
Yes, perfectly. They do. And that's part of it. this also relates to the 500 flood stories that there are around the entire planet. Because a lot of the, as Pangaea was breaking up into the different continents, obviously you're going to slosh water in a bathtub hard enough, it's going to go right over the edge of the bathtub. And so it did. And so there's flood stories as the continents were breaking into their pieces. If anybody would like to look at it, just go to Google and put in flood stories from the Earth. And you'll find a website that shows 500 flood stories from all over this planet. Because the people that were left here, it's in their history. And we're going back several thousand years. In the neighborhood of 50 plus thousand years ago is when this happened.
50,000 years ago?
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
That's
50 to 60.
Hang on. What happened 50,000 years ago? Not the same. This is a different flood, isn't it?
No, it's the one that the Bible talks about. It's the one that is in flood stories from all over the planet.
That's 50,000 years ago?
Somewhere around there.
Okay. So here's the thing, is that that's when the water planet was supposed to have been destroyed, which sent water everywhere, all over the solar system, and particularly it would kind of, like Earth was being thrown, a bucket was being thrown at the Earth. And that's what I think the deluge at 50,000 years was. But this may be the same story.
Yes. Well, as near as I understand the information or comprehend it, that was going on at that time. That's when it was decided that an experiment would go on here, because there was a war raging across three different galaxies, and this one was about to be engulfed in said war. And to prevent that from happening, all parties involved in the war agreed on an experiment. And no matter what the outcome of the experiment is, this is the final resolution of four different galaxies. That's why this experiment is going on here. That's why it's being wrapped up now. And all parties are satisfied with the experiment, because we've all, over the course of time, if you want to use that word, we've all come to understandings or comprehension of one another, and we're a we, a W-E, a we. And those that are still thinking it's all about me, they get to go somewhere else and continue with their existence. No one dies. No one's going to be destroyed. And that's part of the manipulation that went on here in this experiment. Anyway, I hope that's enough information for right now.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, can we go back? Can we go back to the war that you were talking about? And who is the war between? And what was it about?
There is a galaxy, I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head, and I'm not sure I want to remember the name of it, honestly. There's a galaxy where the predominant form of life in that galaxy is the reptilians.
Okay, that makes sense.
And they decided that all the galaxies around them needed to be predominantly reptilian life forms. And so they started the war, basically, because they weren't getting along very well with the other life forms. They stay away from the insect life forms, because those people, ooh, watch out. Anyway, you don't want to get sideways with those people.
Don't mess with the mantoids.
Be as nice to them as you can, because praying mantis people, they got all sorts of hidden weapons right there in their body. And so you don't want to get sideways with them. You want to stay on an even keel. And they're fine. They're nice people. They really are. A little scary to look at, but they're nice people. Once you get on even ground with them, you're on even ground, and you really got to work at it to piss one off. So don't try and piss one off. You might not like the results. Anyway.
Meanwhile.
The reptilians decided that they were going to go to war, because they needed to be the predominant form of life in all these galaxies. And the Lyra constellation was one of these galaxies that they were creating a war in, or committing to war. And so a lot of beings from Lyra constellation came to this planet, through the Stargate, which is the sun. That's where you get stories about the 144,000 entities of light. You may have heard about that in the course of your life. Psychics and astrologers talk about that. That's where they came from.
So that's the the Liran refugees number 144,000.
Yes, they came.
So that's
here
where the original 144,000 came from.
Yes.
Right, the Liran refugees.
And once the Lyrans got the war over with in their galaxy, basically, they came here through the Stargate and to atone for what they had done. They didn't kill them. They just took all their technology, all their means away, their knowledge, everything. Said, okay, you didn't want to participate in the war that was about to engulf all of us, so you could stay here. And they took all their technology and their knowledge and everything else, and they got to reincarnate as humans. Basically, is what happened. There was a lot of Lyran refugees that also went to the planet Maldok. Well, in the course of the reptilians trying to take over the Milky Way, the Andromedans and the Lyrans and the Arcturians and the Pleiadians and all of them that had been mixed up in this war for so long, they all got together and had a tenuous meeting that expanded into bigger meetings, and they finally decided on an experiment where all parties involved would be satisfied at the end of the experiment. And it was decided on 13 planets here in this galaxy where the experiment would take place at. Tolik talks about one of those planets, and that was the planet of Procyon. They did not go down in vibrational density as slow or as deeply as we did. And that's why they came out of this experiment faster than we did, and they're on their way here now. I perhaps may be saying too much at this point, but anyway, there's that. I threw that out there.
Well, you're not the only one to say it, so I wouldn't worry.
Thank you for that. In fact, I received a video from someone today where there's a guy that is looking at, NASA satellite pictures of ISON, the comet that's coming in. And Tolik talks about how it's not a comet, it's a biosphere, and there's two Procyon ships coming with it. That's why it looks like a V, or a triangle, because that's the formation they're in right now.
And yeah, I did it myself. If you go to my Studio 9 Jam channel on YouTube, that's where my Tolik video is. You can also go through everbeyond.info. And there's a YouTube archive page under the radio show. So I've got selected archives on YouTube. And essentially, what I did is I just went straight to the point where it said the comet would be. And it actually had moved, so you had to kind of drag it a bit. It's a bit like Google Maps, you know what I'm saying? So I dragged it down a bit and zoomed in. It was a big white blob, and I took a screenshot. And then I clicked darker, and I took a screenshot, and I clicked darker, and I took a screenshot. About the third thing, you could see, the third click, you could see there were three definite lights and fuzz. You bring it down and down and down, and you see these very distinct three lights. Two long ones pointing to a single round one. So... Now,
yes.
Okay, so
share with you.
Anyone can do that. Anyone can do that. But that's what the graphic is on that Tolik interview that I did last Monday. He just kind of called up, said, same as Collier. You know, this is how the Andromedans were. They really fly by the seat of their pants, I think.
Well, I'll give you the video link right now that somebody shared with me, and the title of it. Is ISON cover up part 2, and this guy is detailing the NASA images of this comet coming in. You can see all the things here. I mean, he goes right down into showing you the triangle formation, how those ships are lined up, and they're on their way here. I don't know exactly when they'll be here. I would surmise that somewhere around the middle or end of December they'll be here, right on schedule for the shift that should happen sometime in January.
Okay, well, I was getting November. When you said when they're coming, November. So that's what my... that's what my little inner voice said. I don't know. Everybody's got their own.
That's fine, too. Hey, the more the merrier and the faster the better.
Exactly. The thing is, some people, of course, you know, because we haven't had the blue beam, have we?
No.
We haven't had the blue beam invasion. And so it could be that this is a manifestation of that. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that it's a manifestation of some bad ETs, da-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da. But if they'd have been invaded, surely they'd have been invaded anyway. They're already here. Everybody's already here. I think the big problem is the quarantine shield. Can you talk about that a little bit? What do you know about the quarantine shield? And when was it put here? And... yeah, let's start there.
Well, okay, quarantine shield. The quarantine shield has been violated a lot, as I'm sure you're aware, but it was mainly to keep certain entities on this planet, to give them, so they could go through the experiment, but also so they had a whole lot of opportunity to make different choices, because life is all about choices. And quite a few of them did. Quite a few of them have. But, I'll give you an example. There were a whole lot of horror movies back in the 70s and 80s, and they were detailing for us things that were really happening in this reality. Minus the Hollywood special effects, of course, but there were, how many Exorcist movies were there? That kind of stuff was taken care of. It was neutralized because there were entities managing to play at faster vibrations right here in this reality, and to keep them from going anywhere else and doing that same thing, they were quarantined here to this planet because they had to learn that all life forms have free will choice, and if you don't abide by those rules, where am I going to let you out? You have to learn. Doesn't matter if it's a grasshopper or a blue whale, they all have free will choice, and if you don't honor that, nobody's going to honor your free will choice. So you get to stay here until you figure that out. Hello? And a lot of them did. I don't know if I'm detailing that enough. Is that kind of what you were looking for?
Well, yeah. Any idea when it was instituted?
The shielding itself, the grid around the planet that was here, and it was part of the grid of this planet. And the reason I put it in that terminology is because when a soul leaves the physical body they're in, they can go anywhere. Well, not necessarily the case on this planet, because there's a grid, and they can't get past the grid, which is also the barrier or the shield that's around this planet. And so at that point, they have a limited choice, but they still have choice. They have the choice of staying there in the grid and doing whatever you're able to do in the grid, or to come into a physical body again. And it doesn't matter what kind of physical body. It can be a dog skin suit or a horse skin suit or a buffalo or a jaguar, a lion. It really doesn't matter. You can pretty much be whatever you want to, but only right here inside the grid. It was done that way on purpose, so that all these life forms that were... And I got to tell you, we've been locked into this grid with some, shall we say, very unsavory characters.
It's like being locked overnight in the drunken cage with the murderer who's just killed someone.
It would be just like Harry and the Hendersons, where that guy fell in a dumpster and he was locked in the jail cell with all the other prisoners, and he smelled like just raw garbage. I don't know if you remember that scene or not.
No. But yeah. But anyway, yeah, they're not nice. Not nice neighbors. So basically, we're locked in with a bunch of nutters, and the nutters are learning how to be nice to everybody, and not just each other. That's the problem. Because yes. What's happened is the nutters have all gathered together. All right, we're all nutters, right? So let's all get together, and they're stupid, aren't they? Anyway, let's all get together and rule the world and just kill everybody else. Now, it's very interesting because you were talking about the reptilians before, and you were saying, right, the reptilians want everybody around them to be gone, you know, yeah. Cleansed. And it's very interesting that that's exactly the same attitude that the Nazis had. You know, instead of living with other people who, you know, you don't like or you have to negotiate with or trade with or just somehow coexist with, you just wipe them out. It's the final solution. You know, it's really simple. It's simplistic thinking. It's really, it's very, very low-minded, obviously, because it's like, it's eliminate the enemy as soon as you can so you can have a nice time. You don't have to live in the moment anymore.
Well, and this experiment was set up this way so that all parties that were warring with each other could come to their own, arrive at their own final resolution. Whether they wanted to be around each other or not, whether they wanted to live as a we or not, whether they wanted to think it was all about me or be part of the we. And this is why the human life form, the human skin suit, is the only life form like it on the entire planet. You know, when you look at lizards, when you look at insects, they have one central place in what you would call a head or an anthrax on an insect,
thorax.
Thank you, thorax. I knew it was one of those racks.
You've gone all squint, Tom. It's all right, relax, relax.
I got the racks, okay? I'm just kidding.
Deep breath.
Oh my God, I hope there's no big busted women that take that personally, their axe. Okay, never mind. Shut up, Tom. It's okay.
Calm. All right, Tom. So
50-50. I know. as I was saying, all types of life forms, whether it be reptilian or amphibian or mammalian, have one hemisphere to their brain. Okay? Humans have two hemispheres to their brain, a left brain and a right brain. It's divided by the supercolossum. If you needed any more evidence, one of the beings out there in this world, alligators and crocodiles and reptilians like that, have instead of a pineal gland, they have what's called a medulla oblongata. Well, guess what? The only other life form on the planet besides those particular reptilians that has a medulla oblongata is humans. Hello? So, that's why the human life form is composed of so many different types of life, so many different genomes, because this is the experiment. How are we going to get all these different life forms to live together and honor each other's free will choice? Well, let's just put together a little experiment, put the lime in the coconut, mix it all up. And they did.
And today, here we are, and what have we got? Half of the reptilians, they all kind of banded together and invented money, and invented subtle forms of control, you know, because they realized that people don't like being controlled, so they worked out how to do it without being realized, you know, like propaganda and things like that, and other forms of subtle or less than subtle mind control, like 9/11 and all of that business. So they kind of like that kind of thing, and it's not a it doesn't honor free will. It's like they brought their system wherever they go with them. They bring themselves and they bring their reality, and they impose their reality on us, or on anybody. It's like what they called Pax Romana in the Roman times. It was the peace of Rome, Pax Romana, and it was because everybody who was a troublemaker was locked away or killed. And guess what? Isn't it the same today? Except there are too many troublemakers. The human race is a whole race of troublemakers for the reptilians, because we're the same. Well, you know, we have to stand up to our forefathers and say, look, what you did was wrong, and we're not going to do that anymore, and so you just have to get used to this.
Yeah. The main part of the experiment was to get them to realize, and they obviously went the other way, the Dracos and the Hydras in particular, they have brainwashed their own race of people into thinking that this is our planet. That's what they were telling their own people, the Dracos and the Hydras. And it's our job to take this planet back from the garbage that is populating this planet. This is our planet. Well, a lot of them have seen through that. A lot of them have made their own choices, and they've come out of this experiment already and are waiting for the experiment to be over with completely. Because they were already at faster vibrational frequencies than us, they've already shifted out of here and are just waiting. Those that didn't want to play by the rule book and didn't want to make a different choice, they've pretty much been shot off somewhere else, where they are no longer the biggest fish in the pond. They are a bigger fish where they're at now. Hello! So that's been taken care of, and everything's right on schedule for this vibrational shift in the planet. I don't know any other way to detail it or say anything about that.
Okay, well, we'll come back to that. We've got a couple of questions from our dear listeners, and
I'm scared.
Oh, no, don't be scared. We all love you. You know that. You don't need to worry. We love you. Okay, so, first of all, when we're talking about the Lyrians, or the Lyrans, or the Lyrans, what form were they? Did they look like us? Are they, you know, do we look like them? How big were they? Did they smell? Did they have funny heads? What's the deal? Who were the Lyrians?
Well, it was a mix in the Lyrans. There was two genomes of DNA structure that made them up. Definitely humanoid in character. They walked on 2 feet, bipedal, obviously. But they had a lot of cat genetics, feline genetics in them as well.
Oh, easy tiger. So yes. they were kind of... when you say feline feature, were they hairy?
Of course.
And did they have kind of long flowing hair, or is it short like a cat's?
It was short like a cat on most of their body, and that's for most of them. That's not all of them. But they had long head hair, and they really got along great with the Sasquatch people.
Like Chewbacca?
Yes, similar to that. Very similar to that.
But more of a cat-like face rather than sort of ape-like face. Well, Chewie's like a kind... He's like one of those little... He's like a little dog. He's got a face like a little dog, isn't he?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
The Lyrans were able to manifest physically in one or two forms as the experiment continued on. They could follow their human primate DNA trails that was on in their soul makeup, or they could follow their feline. And so a lot of times that's why humans are so close to house cats. A lot of times that particular soul will incarnate as a feline, and all souls can do that now because it's been going on for so long, so you never know who's going to be in a skin suit that's part of your life.
Well, I've always liked cats. Kind of. One of the things is that they kind of look after themselves. It's like having, I quite like that aspect of just having someone around who's able to look after themselves. I don't need one now because I've got a son who comes to visit me and probably will visit me in the future. And he's just about able to look after himself. He still needs to tidy up his litter tray every so often, but metaphorically speaking, it's karma. To give birth a child, you take on their karma, don't you? And it's the same as taking a dog on or a cat. Anyway, cats are kind of light on the old karma. I think they're quite easy to deal with. So Lyrans have cat-like features or human primate-like features, yeah?
They had the ability to choose what kind of skins they wanted to come back into. This is one of the reasons why the Egyptians knew so long ago that cats were protectors against what they called evil spirits, because cats could see them. It's like, I see you. You're not doing that.
Hmm.
And the souls that were in those cat skin suits could see them and take care of them.
Yeah. I'm just thinking while we're talking. I just think about some of the cats that I've shared my space with, and they all had their own personalities. It was quite interesting. They're individual.
I had a house cat that we just put to sleep back in. In 2009, he was 20 years old.
They're quite long lived for cats.
Yeah, and I adopted him as a stray. He was about a year old when I adopted him. I just grabbed him off the street and took him home with me, and he lived with us for 19 years.
Aww.
He was a scrapper too, man. He was the king of the street. There was no cat that would mess with him anywhere on the street.
So yeah, oh god, I've just seen Thomas Sheridan's new profile picture was his Sean Connery in this orange jockstrap. It's just disturbing beyond measure.
I don't want to see that. Thanks.
So, this is, I love this kind of, because, all these people, these beings, these creatures, these brothers and sisters, really. And here's the thing that I've been trying to kind of get across to people, is that Sasquatch people, and these Lyran people, or Lyrian, or Lyran, people have, their way of communicating, which may not sound like English. Certainly there was a Russian radar tower, air control tower, tracked a UFO, and on the radio they heard this really feline sounding voice that's do you know anything about that one?
No, I haven't ever heard of that one, but it makes sense to me.
Well, all you have to do, Google or go to YouTube and go Russian UFO feline voice,
okay.
And you'll get that. And they tracked a UFO, and you see the radar thing, and you hear the thing on the voice and on the radio. It was all recorded. Very interesting, very interesting. So yeah, so there's the Lyrans, and the other question so far is also again from Beatrix. Were all these players in 3D and acting in 3D, or is there a dimensional metaphor that they're playing out in this mode?
it would be important for me to talk about the word dimension as they defined it for me, because that word gets bandied around a lot. And so they put it in my head, and I woke up one morning, and I said those words out loud, and I asked them, I said, "And this is what you want to say?" And they said, "Yes, please." So I first said this on Lisa Harrison's show back in December. But the way they defined it for me, a dimension is a vibration that is built around, or a reality that is built around a specific vibration. And so for as long as technology has been on this planet in its current form, the Schumann resonance, which is the resonance of the planet, has always been at 7 hertz, or 7 beats per second. From the fall of 2007 to the fall of 2010, that frequency increased from 7 hertz to 13 hertz. So the faster vibration is already in place, and the new reality is being built around that vibration, and we're going to springboard into it, is the way it's being shown to me. That's why everything is going to shift on this planet.
So this reminds me a little bit of radios. You have a carrier wave, which is the frequency that the transmitter is running at, and then imposed on that carrier wave is the signal. Now the signal can be AM, which is amplitude, that's like the volume changes, or FM, and the frequency changes very slightly, and it all cancels out. It's very clever. And there's a lot less noise on FM, and then you can add digital to that, and it gets cleaner and cleaner and cleaner.
After saying that, let me just say that a lot of these beings that are trapped here with us, they've been looking for ways to break through this grid or barrier, whatever you'd like to call it.
Yeah.
In other words, the reality that's built around a specific vibration. So when they did what the Atlanteans did back at the end of World War II, when they detonated the first atomic device, that particular device from this vibrational reality, it bled over, just like AM frequencies will bleed over into other frequencies. It bled over into other frequencies of existence. It did damage there, right here on this planet. And so that's when the UFO sightings started going through the roof, going all the way back to Roswell, and starting from there, crop circles, and God, how many different UFO sightings have there been? Because they were going to make sure that those people did not break out of this reality. Atomic bombs, HARP, none of that stuff was going to, and that's why that super collider over there in Europe, the one that takes up 3 or 4 countries in size, it's never going to work, because they're never going to be able to break through the grid. The grid's here for a reason. Hello.
Hello. The grid is here for a reason.
Many reasons, actually.
Yes. So let's talk about, when you say the grid, I need to visualize it. Am I talking about something that is the size of, say, the orbit of the moon, a big sphere that is, if you put this Earth at the middle and the moon at the outside, it would be kind of just, it would contain, the moon could roll around the inside of this sphere. Is that how big we're talking about, the grid?
We're talking about different strengths, and the grid would be like ley lines, like latitude and longitude, what we've been able to the map that we've ever laid on this planet.
Oh, like the Hartmann grid. That's
very much.
There's
much
two.
And then as you get closer to the planet, that grid becomes stronger.
Right.
But usually out there, probably about 2 or 3 times the length from the Earth that the moon is where ships that are coming in begin feeling the effects of the grid.
Mm.
The beings that came here in Roswell back at the end of World War II, and the reason they crashed here is because they flew over a place where there was a ley line of the grid, and it caused some distortions with the spacecraft, and they ended up crashing as a result. So that was a learning lesson for them. Spacecraft that have come here since then have managed to compensate or adjust for that, and so the ley lines of the grid doesn't affect them quite as much as it did that spaceship when it first came here.
Right, so it's a natural it's part of the defense grid that the ancients placed here to keep these buggers here.
Yes.
So, and in this period of time, we're going through a cyclic reset on the electrics of the planet. The whole thing's shifting from one pole to the other. We're going from positive to negative and negative to positive ground. You know, it's like changing the battery connections on your car, and you have to turn everything around the other way, like the starter motor, so it doesn't go backwards when you start the motor, and all the LEDs, so that they don't not come on. Everything has to be reversed in polarity, and so a lot of our current technology seems to be coming to a point of failure, and that the ancient technology may start back up again. We'll have to create things the way we used to, or the way somebody used to, anyway.
Yes, there's so many different types of technology out there that people aren't aware of. They take for granted all the time. And that's because we're down here at this slower vibration where things just don't make sense. So they dismiss it. But if anybody really knew how much energy there is in water alone, they would probably be a little bit more careful with it, a little bit more respectful.
Well, not only energy, Thomas, but information.
Yes.
That water is a liquid crystal being, that you have a glass of water, you're separating a universal being that has been with the beingness and ingested it into your body, which is also a whole load of water, and your body is a vehicle for the blood, which is the water of your life, the blood where the iron and the salt mix.
Well, yes, and many of the movies that they've come out with for the last 20 or 30 years have been an education to help us remember or awaken things that we've simply forgotten. I get so tired of people saying, well, you're here to learn. Really? What am I here to learn? What is it that I don't know already? And since I know these things and can remember them at will, all I have to do is ask and memory comes back, why can't you do the same thing? But that's another story and I won't go down that road. I will just say this. I'd like to say this because I've only said it once on a show. And it has to do with the fifth element. We are, as beings of light, the fifth element. And the body that we live in is made of four elements. We know that we're water. 70% of the body is liquid. As that liquid intermingles or interacts with other parts of the earth, that makes up the skin suit. For instance, the bone marrow and your bones is what turns water into blood, because it slows it down, changes the chemistry of the water, adds things to it, in other words. One of the principal things that bone marrow does is the iron that you ingest. It introduces the iron into the hemoglobin, or the water that has been changed into hemoglobin, and all of a sudden your blood is red because it has iron in it. Okay, the slowest burn on the face of the earth is rust. Anybody can look that up. You can look it up. It's there for everyone to see. I'm not talking about anything that people can't look up, so please, I encourage everyone, put your thinking caps on and sit over in a quiet corner somewhere and use your laptop and look all this stuff up. The slowest burn on the planet is rust, and that is because the atmosphere, air, in other words, is 17% oxygen. And so when you have oxygen, meeting with iron, when the two interact, you get a burn. And so the slowest burn on the planet is rust. Now, that being said, you can take a bottle of pure oxygen from the hospital, put a nozzle and a hose, and spray pure oxygen on a piece of metal, iron, and you'll get 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit flame instantly, just from the oxygen. No other fuel involved. So, the blood has iron introduced into it from the bone marrow as this process through your body. And then that same blood, being from the water, now has the earth in it. Okay, blood and earth, water and earth are two elements. A third element is introduced, air, which has 17% oxygen. So, as the air is introduced into the blood molecules in your body, that oxygen you're taking in begins the slowest burn on the face of the planet with the iron that's in your blood called rust. And that's why we're thermic. That being the fourth element, fire. You got fire, water, earth, and air. All four elements are there, and you, the being of light that you are, the soul, or spirit, whatever word you'd like to ascribe to that, is what gives all of that life. So, that is how we can scientifically realize or understand how this skin suit works and how this is the true technology, the body that we live in. Thank you for letting me say that.
You're very welcome. And that's why Lilu had red hair.
You think?
Oh, Lilu. That was such a brilliant language that they came up with, which is a kind of, it was like a Latin-y kind of, it sounded Italian-y kind of, but ancient and like weird and amazing. Brilliant.
Yes.
What an amazingly put together film. I love that.
Yeah, and one of the words that I remember that I like that she said was, people lie. People lie.
Multipass.
That's right, multipass.
Anyway, my girlfriend is protesting. She's there's an actually coming in from a petulant ass. No. Bless your heart. Actually, this, but it's got two. It's two exclamation marks. It's almost petulant. Darling, I'm going to talk to you about this. Anyway, actually, the slowest burn is water. Just heard that today. Really alive water burns really slowly, she says.
Okay. I'm just talking about physics as we understand it on this planet right now.
Mm. But anyway, whether it's water, because water is still in this mix, so the water is burning, the iron is burning. This is interesting. What else is in there?
Well, obviously the earth and our ground, earth,
mm-hmm.
and then
so what's air. That? Silicon. Silicon is represented as the earth.
Yes.
Because the earth is like mostly silicon. That's a silicon-based life form, if ever I heard one.
Carbon.
And we're based on carbon. Now, here's the thing. Carbon and silicon are related because they're in the same column in the periodic table. So that if you added a quantum amount of energy to a carbon atom, it becomes a silicon atom. Isn't that an interesting thought?
Yes. So this is why you'll hear a lot of people say that science and religion are the two witnesses. Because you can't really have one without the other. In other words, you can liken it to electricity. Positive and negative electricity are the same thing. Just one's on one side, one's on the other. One doesn't exist without the other. And you can apply that to so many things. How many people ever think about as above, so below? You know? Night and day, winter and summer, spring and fall, good and evil, positive and negative electricity. And there it is, right there in front of everyone. And nobody, they want to build all these stories and all these horrible pictures around evil. And it's like, really? Okay. Send me a postcard. Let me know how that turns out for you.
So, we're at the top of the hour. Let's do some Steve Hillage, shall we? Have you heard of Steve Hillage?
I can't say that I have.
Have you heard of Gong?
Yes.
Yeah? Steve Hillage was one of the guitar players from Gong, and he inherited... he learned from David Allen and kind of took it to the next octave. This is one of his tracks called Ether Ships. It's great stuff. I love this. Just slap on the cans and relax. Welcome back to Ever Beyond with JP, and tonight I'm talking with Thomas Hughes, and that was so much fun, wasn't it? Did you enjoy that track?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that was Ether Ships by Steve Hillage from the Green album. It's actually a very consciously made that bubbling sound, that watery sound, to be exactly alpha frequency, ten and a quarter cycles a second. That's that dream, you know, the dream state just before you go to, you're kind of going to sleep or waking up, that sort of thing. So you may have found that kind of dreamy and drifty, and yeah, that was the idea. It's lovely. The Green album, I think it's. I sometimes used to just play Steve Hillage for an hour. It's like a whole hour or a half hour. Hillage half hour. Just play Steve Hillage because they are so cool and so laid back. I didn't talk, didn't annoy anybody with my voice. I just just played Hillage. Listen to this and chill the heck out. It'll cure you of stuff. Just listening to this. So we love Steve Hillage here. Anyway. Where were we? We were talking about stuff, Tom.
Yes, we were talking about stuff.
Was there something out? We'd come to a kind of natural pause in the proceedings, hadn't we?
Oh, I was talking about how the four elements make up the body and how the soul that we are, or spirit, is the fifth element. I was going to give some food for thought to everybody else on the same track or line of thought. We know that our waste and all animals' waste feed the plants. That's why cow manure and horse manure makes such good fertilizer for plants. Okay, because it's rich in things that plants can use. So, with that being too crude about this, I just want to say that the material that leaves our body feeds plants.
Yes,
and it helps the plants to grow and put out nice flowers, and then there's some plants that produce fruit or vegetables, and they take a number two themselves in the form of tomatoes and bananas and nuts like walnuts and pecans and other things. So in essence, the plants are taking a crap and we're eating their crap.
Thanks, Thomas. That's really, really, really made me feel like a salad now.
Food for thought.
No, I don't want to think about that kind of food. Anyway, so... Ah, man, such a South Park thought. So, the whole ecosystem, the way everything
There's reflects. At least a couple of people listening that are laughing their backsides off right now.
Yeah. See, poop joke seems to be part of it. But, you know, it's like, I always used to notice that it's like the last third of the evening's conversation. So you're a little early.
Well, you know, but honestly, think about it. Think about that. But also think that we breathe oxygen. It's what we need for these bodies to live. And what we breathe out is carbon dioxide.
Mm-hmm.
And the plants around us, they all breathe in carbon dioxide. And they breathe out oxygen. Does it ever stop, or does it ever end? Is there a beginning? Is there an end? Or is it always this? as it always is.
They don't run away. They don't try to run away when we eat them.
Well, you know, and I come up with crazy theories like this. My latest crazy theory is that I know what happened to all the vampires and all the vampire hunters on this planet. Do you?
There was a war recently, I believe, in like only 10 years ago or something like that.
No, that's Underworld. That's a movie. Anyway.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Go on.
They were having a battle, the werewolves and the vampires and the vampire hunters. They were all at each other's throat fighting it out, and they were a noisy bunch, especially at night. There was a witch that was just trying to get some sleep, and these noisy individuals were making so much noise she couldn't go to sleep. She got mad, and she went out the door of her little cottage over there in England somewhere, and she said, "I've had it! I've had enough!" And she turned all the vampires into mosquitoes. And she turned all the vampire mosquitoes into mosquito hawks. Those really big-looking mosquito things that eat mosquitoes? I'm sorry, did that come out? That was funny.
Say that again. She turned the vampires into mosquitoes and the werewolves into mosquito hunters.
Hawks. Hawks. Mosquito hawks. You know, those really big looking mosquitoes that never bite you.
All right. But no, we don't have those here. We have invisible vampire blood-sucking creatures. They call midges. They're tiny, 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 tiny. Yet for some reason they exude this tiny, tiny, tiny amount of poison that creates this huge lump on your arm that then bleeds this kind of orange crystal. It's really fucking weird. Anyway.
I'm being told here on Skype by our wonderful friend Dave Gorzo to get my head out of my backside. So this is me thinking outside the buns. Think outside the bun.
Think outside the buns. Oh, Thomas. Right, meanwhile, come on. Let's see if we... okay, so you've had your moment, your Tourette's moment. Meanwhile... back... hey. Back in the Kuiper Belt. This whole thing acted out in the 3D... So there were three galaxies... There was reptilians in ones, there was Lyrians in another, and...
more than Lyrians there, the guy, Lyrians, yeah.
Yeah, Lyrians, all right, I'll call them Lyrians for the sake of the show.
Okay.
There were Lyrians there, and there were... Lyrians, I see, all right. Anyway, there was another group. Who was the third group?
The Anunnaki were part of that as well. And the Anunnaki gets painted about quite a bit, but you have to understand that the Anunnaki are humanoid, and there's other races in the Anunnaki as well. It's not just humanoid, it's in the Anunnaki. But they were part of this experiment as well. And they contributed to it.
Alright, so Anunnaki, and these are Anunnaki from Nibiru?
Nibiru? I don't know if Nibiru is even actually a planet. I think it may be more fear porn propagated by the powers that were. Because I haven't received any information. When I talk with Tolik about it, there's not a lot of information coming from the Andromeda Council about it. So it's most likely fear porn being generated by the powers that were trying to hold on to what little they have left. They want to control everything, and like errant children at a daycare center or kindergarten class, you know, errant children have to be sent over to the corner until you figure out that you're part of the entire class. It's not all about you, Hillary Clinton. Sorry. Did I say that out loud?
I'm afraid that just kind of slid right out between your teeth.
She's the one that coined the phrase back in 1993. It's all about me. And everybody picked it up and ran with it. So, bless her little pointed head.
Oh, did she? It's all about me. Oh, I mean, and in her world, she really is all about me, isn't she?
She's her little pointed head.
The hive queen. that's gonna blow Nikki's top, or Nikki's gonna blow. She's not. She's got this. Talks about. but she talks about. There's a difference between a hive mind, and whatever it is. So bees, as opposed to ants, right?
Okay.
That the hive is a kind of egalitarian thing. That this is her thing, and that the ant colony is like it's more hierarchical in its order, or something like that. You know anything about that? Different ways defining like hive mind and sort of Borg mind, really.
Well, when you look at bees or ants. They both have a queen. The queen is responsible for laying eggs. In the case of ants, here in North America, they build their homes underground, ant bed. It's typically in the ground. Whereas a bee colony builds a honeycomb. Okay? And so, regardless of the type of life form and how they build, the end goal or the end result is always the same. To keep the collective, if you look at a ant colony or a beehive as a collective, they are a we. And so everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing in that we. The workers are the workers. They go and do the work. The drones are the drones. They go and do their work. The queen is the queen. She goes and does her work. And the entire thing functions. But if you take any one of those things out of the order in which it's placed there, in other words, if all the worker bees die from Monsanto modified GMO foods, or flowers rather, then all of a sudden the entire beehive is gone, because there's no worker bees that come back and bring parts from plants to make honey with, or to make the honeycomb. In other words, so the queen bee doesn't have any place to lay eggs, and the eggs don't have a place to hatch and eat some of the honeycomb before they go off and start working for the entire collective. How's that for an explanation?
That's very good. So, all right. So, she's talking about ants, and the hive is based on love, according to Rudolf Steiner teachings.
Well, and a lot of times people will try and take life forms around us, and this is not a bad thing to do. It's actually a very conducive thing to do. Look at other life forms and realize how they work. But I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that all the other life forms on this planet are looking at humans going, will they ever figure it out? Some will, some won't. Because if you look at the Earth as a hive, if you look at the Earth as a colony, every life form on this planet knows what they're supposed to be doing in the hive or the colony, except for humans. Sorry, I had to say it that way.
I think, though, that there is a... it's like a mite. You know that there's some. You got these mites. I think wasps get them, and they get a mite that makes the wasps go weird, act strangely, and hurt each other. Is that right? Is there a mite that does that? I think there's an equivalent in the human hive.
Yes, there are things that always introduce distortions in this designed reality. Because it's all part of the experiment, and you know, you can't really have an experiment unless you have other things that are constantly jumping in and changing things, which is, by the way, the meaning of the word perfection, continuous change, because eternity is a very boring place. Sorry.
You gotta have something to do. I find that A lot of it is about, it's a bit like jazz reality. How can I explain this? There are ways of playing music that kind of allow a flow to happen, and some people take charge and they bring out a rhythm and everybody plays with the rhythm. Then other people come out and they come out with a melody and everybody plays with the melody and the rhythm and da-da-da. And it's a kind of cooperative venture between collaborating musicians, and that's what they call sort of jazz fusion.
And what I'll say about this, since you brought it up,
mm-hmm.
My favorite jazz people to listen to are the ones that want to make sure it's recorded because they don't know if they can ever make that sound again.
Yeah, like Keith Jarrett.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The
way he kind of hums along with the piano as well, that's a bit weird.
They play so good and they shoot from the hip through instinct so well that they can't even remember what they did. So they don't know if they can reproduce that again or not.
Yeah, they're just kind of more or less channeling it. Hopefully my rendition of Comfortably Numb comes under that circumstance. I do try to bring through the spirit of Floyd when I play it. I don't play the same notes every time, it's using that theme as a basis and then working in and out of it.
Much nicer than some of the songs that I've been exposed to, and everybody on you can look it up on YouTube. And one of those songs is "Piss Up a Rope."
Thanks, Tom. come on, it's 20 past. You got another 20 minutes to go. Anyway.
I couldn't resist, sorry.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe saying ants are like the greys, that it's not a love-based thing, it's a kind of control-based thing. But,
Now, how insulting is that to ants? I mean, all over the world.
So, Tom...
These guys are working their thoraxes off to make sure the colony's taken care of, and you're comparing them to greys. I mean, how insulting is that, really?
Working their thoraxes off. I like that one. Can you tell us a bit about, number one, about the greys, there are different kinds of greys as well, aren't they? There are greys that have got a soul, and there are greys that are kind of robots, but you can't tell the difference. How do you tell the difference? You feel them.
Yeah, you feel them, for one. You feel that there is any life in that skin suit. It's the easiest way to say that, and you'll feel it. Even science on this planet calls the human body a biomechanical machine. And so, that being said, there are Orion greys that have been able to replicate themselves or clone themselves, and they can control that body from their ship or wherever they're at without actually being in the body. And then, of course, if they need to escape or whatever, they can just cut off being connected to that body, and you've got a live body there, but you have no idea what it's doing because it's not really doing anything. Like the guy in Washington State that captured one, basically, that crashed his ship, and he had it in the freezer at his house. And you can see that video on YouTube as well. But at some point, the gray that cloned itself and made that skin suit, it connected with that skin suit again and took control of it. And that's when the guy was in some kind of trouble. Let's put it that way.
Are they, like you were saying about the mantoid, it's got built-in weapons. It's got sharp claws and presumably other little tricks. Do the greys have this kind of thing as well?
Of course. If you find that video on YouTube and it's there, I'll see if I can find it and give you the link.
What's
later.
The search term? What would you search for?
I put grey... captured Washington. It was in Washington State where this guy captured one and put it in his freezer.
Right.
It was still alive when he took it out to thaw. You can even see the eyes blinking.
Wow.
On this thing. And I just want to say, somebody said that I'm on a roll today. I just want to say that it's because I have butter in my pants.
Is it Crisco by any chance?
I had no. It's just butter. I'm on a roll, so I've got butter in my pants.
Whoa, come on.
Anyway, you can see the video of it that he recorded, and he didn't record or video the gray when it escaped him after it thawed out from the freezer, but it emitted a high vocal pitch or sound that gave him an instant headache, and it was gone. So it has vocal weapons. Audio weapons of a sort, and their vocal cords are programmed with this.
Mm.
So
it's like a defense system.
Yes.
Yeah. And did they have sharp claws or things like that? What are their fingers like? Creepy, obviously.
Yes, some of them do have sharp claws, and some don't. And there are different types of grays out there. The Zeta Reticuli grays are typically around 7 feet tall, and very skinny or slender. Part of this experiment that's been done here has benefited them as well, because they've cloned themselves so many times that they no longer have reproductive organs. And, you know, being a musician, when you copy a tape so many times, the copy of a copy of a copy of a copy doesn't sound very good.
Mm.
And so once they've copied themselves or cloned themselves so many times, they realize that they might have a problem. So there are a lot of Zeta Reticuli grays that now have reproductive organs that they were able to blend into their own species from human life forms right here on this planet. Niara Isley talks about this.
Right, and this is the Zeta hybrid program.
No, the Zeta Reticuli are not really. Well, it's their own hybrid program.
That's their hybrid program. That has nothing to do with us. Apart from we're the test subjects, do they have the same attitude to is it all these big guys, right? All these big people just look upon us as like, you know, oh, mostly harmless, but they're pretty dangerous.
Well, many of them are neutral. They don't feel one way or the other towards us. Everything's in balance.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you're in balance, you're fine. But if you're out of balance, that's your choice to be out of balance, and they're not going to partake in that. So this shift or transition that we're coming to is about us being in balance with everything around us again. And I mean everything. Those that are ready for that kind of balance will stay here. Those that aren't will go somewhere else and continue this kind of life cycle where they keep being born into another skin suit and going through this. But Zeta Reticuli are a very neutral race. They aren't positive or negative. They're pretty much in balance all the time. And to tell a story from Niara Isley, she was part of the MyLab experiments in the Air Force back in the early 80s. And in the early 2000s, she had come to her own awareness of who she was. And one of the commanders of a ship that's here around this planet that she was going up to about once a week, and she would get in a light chamber and they would download the information directly from her soul about her experiences. Took her back to a time when she was taken to a base on the dark side of the moon, and she was raped. And there were 9 alien species in the room, and another Air Force personnel was raping her. Her colonel, or commanding officer, was there in the room, and she didn't want to relive this, as obviously you would not. But the commander of the ship that she's part of the team of said, "It's important that you see this," and he showed her from a point of view in the room behind the colonel, and one of those Zeta Reticuli hybrids that now had genitalia came over to the colonel, her commanding officer, and looked at her commanding officer and said very nicely, he said, you don't even realize who you have there. He said, but it is important for you to understand at this time that everything that happens to her gets reported back to her people, and she was never abducted again.
Wow, a heavy duty story. However, who were her people?
Zeta Reticuli Gray is if I understand, but you can go to Niara Isley's website. That's N-I-A-R-A, Niara, and Isley is E-I-S-L-E-Y, Niara Isley. I interviewed her when I had a Blog Talk Radio show before joining you bunch of hooplas over at Wolfsbury Radio. So, yeah. I interviewed her, and she detailed that to some degree while she was on the show as a guest. And right after the Gray, who was about 7 feet tall, that walked over to her commanding officer and said what he said, the abduction stopped. She was never abducted again. Because all of a sudden they realized that they were doing something that was being closely monitored. And there is the law of balance. A lot of them are waking up to that, the law of balance. Very curious law. Because it can be applied in so many ways.
And sometimes, we need to allow things to come into balance. That sometimes with our belief systems, we can hold things out of balance. Is that right?
That is correct. That's why belief systems are so dangerous.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
And so what I say about belief is, it comes from an old English parable, be the lie and the Eve. And so they took three words from that sentence, be, lie, and Eve, crammed them together and made believe. Another, for instance, on belief is, you look at the definition of the word, or the two words. There's two words that make up believe, be and leave. And so if you look at be, it means to exist. That's the definition of be, to exist. And leave, L-I-E-V-E, is, the definition is very simple, ready and willing. So when you believe, that means you, the one that's existing, is ready and willing to accept whatever they give to you, whatever they say to you. That's why belief is so dangerous. When we all have command of the English language, and everybody knows what the word know means, K-N-O-W. So I either know or I don't know. And if I don't know, I'm asking lots of questions. Sorry for that little astray, but I had to put that in there.
Well, Thomas, you don't need to apologize for that kind of thing. Gives people food for thought, and my people are hungry for nuggets of wisdom.
Just like the thinking about nuts falling off trees and bananas and tomatoes and how that feeds.
Don't! I'll fade you out. Yeah. Come on, you've been 80-20 this evening.
Okay. Alright. I'm trying.
It's good. Oh, bless your heart. So, do we have any has anyone got any questions about dimensional entities? And would you like to talk generally about the action of these as the energies of the planet are raising? We all know that. I can feel a sense of excitement, of anticipation. It's a bit like the feeling when a storm is brewing and you know that there's going to be an electric thunderstorm and it's going to be right close to you, and you can feel this kind of tingly build-up. I'm really sensing that there's something that is about to happen, something big, and it's beyond me. It's not just me, it's bigger than me. And I feel it through the land. Would you be able to speak? Well, just open your mouth and breathe and see what comes out.
Well, something we haven't referred to that you and I went over is a blog posting on Wolfsbane Radio by Olivia last year. And while I'm pretty sure that she got the dates right on, she got the year wrong in the dates. It's happening now. Instead of last year when she put the dates down, it's happening now. And so tomorrow, September 16th, is the first wave or the first shift of beings into the new reality. And this goes all the way through January. And it even says it on her blog. I think January 13th is the last date for the final shift. And, well, you read that. I gave you the links. The what she typed down, I copied it myself and kept it here.
Oh, good. Would you be able to post that into the chat room, Tom?
Well, I could post it into the Skype chat, but
yeah.
I can't post it.
Yeah, yeah. I'll post it in. I'll put that into the chat room. But basically, we're talking about a friend of ours, Olivia, who was a mouthpiece taking dictation from a dimensional entity from within the sun, I believe, that she called Enoch. And it, there's no pronoun yet, gave her a timetable, they said, well, they may have said January the 13th. They're not very good with the year cycles, because to them it's like it's that point there, this point on your orbit, that point there. You call it this, but we call it that, and they see it in a different form. So they see a position of the year as a kind of astral lineup, you know, as a stellar lineup, but we see it as a date. But they see it as an angle, and the year doesn't matter because you come to the same angle. Because I've had this experience with my guides and things that I've read, and they'll say soon enough. But often, when I read them again, it's like several years down the line, and it just applies to that moment then. When I read it, and not the moment that I wrote it, it's, oh, I wrote it, you know, whatever. Whatever I it means.
I Skype chat there for you now.
Yeah, thank you very much, Thomas. And I'm going to pop this into the chat room. There we go. There we go. Well, here's the thing. I have a friend who is a carer. And she said to me the other day, that's somebody who cares for various old people and infirm people. And she said, I had two, you know, there are two people who are leaving this weekend, who are dying this weekend. And I've heard so many, like, oh, so-and-so's lost their father, and so-and-so's died. And, you know, several, in different forms, all over the place. You know, like in the Skype community, in the and in the local community, and all of these things, and it just feels to me that there's a particular moment, you know, it's, and it does seem to match up with these. Let me just see, can I control C? Let's see what happens when I paste that. Skype is a bit funny. Oh, I'll just paste it into there first. Oh God! All right. Well. And I'm going to post that into the chat room, and there. So I've just spammed the chat room. The automatic moderators are probably going to ban me for doing that. Anyway, oh gosh, it hasn't all come in there. Hang on, sorry, Tom. I've posted the second part first, or no. Oh no, that's it. So it does start on Move On September the 16th, 2012. For those of you who are not assigned on this date, you will have an awakening bolt of light tingling from toe to head. Well, wasn't that what I was describing earlier on?
It would seem that way.
Yeah. So, not all will be leaving. Well, that's good. For there are those who graduated already from 1D, 2D, and more continuing to incarnate. These children are very advanced and will teach the teachers of your world. That's interesting. Then the next collective will be moving on October 10th, November 11th, December 12th. So that's 10-10, 11-11, 12-12, and then December the 21st.
Blackjack.
Huh?
21, blackjack.
And then Jan 13, which is 13-13-13. So, congratulations, you will all be receiving the badge of your achievement. So, welcome back, Beatrix. She bounced in and out, huh? If you see people around you leaving their bodies, don't worry. They're going to a good place. And, what kind of thing would you imagine that these people would be experiencing at that time, at this time?
The thing that was explained to me is that this is the last separation of humanity. And so a lot of people are going through that separation now. And it's a little befuddling to them. I don't quite know how to vernacularize or verbalize what I'm trying to say. One thing I can say, if people need evidence of this, and I hear the three or four of you out there that says, where's the evidence? You can go to any major city newspaper, look at the obituary section, look at how many people have passed on in just the last month. You know, typically in the Houston Chronicle where I went, there's between 20 and 30 pages of obituaries going back a month. When I looked in February, I got to page 57 and I stopped. I didn't need to see anymore. There was almost double or more than double the amount of people that were leaving. And we're talking about people in their 30s and 40s that are leaving for the strangest reasons, aneurysms, or they come down with cancer and a week later they're gone. You know? And it's happening. That's evidence right there that people, if people want evidence, that's one way you can find it. Me personally, I had the experience the other night. You and I talked about this. I'm thinking we did. I know we did. Where I was sitting there enjoying the effects of a cannabis brownie as I was floating off into sleep. And
medical grade, of course.
Oh, yes. And the cannabis was kicking in nicely, and I was very hungry. And I had a jar of dark chocolate peanut butter.
Oh, my God! Dark chocolate peanut butter. That's what it is. That's the, you know, I've never heard of chocolate peanut butter. But I certainly haven't heard of dark chocolate peanut butter. And it's definitely something that I'm going to investigate. I'm actually going to mix 100% cocoa powder with peanut butter on this evening. And I'm going to tell you what it tastes like. Because you know what I did last night? I'm sorry, I digress. But I really have to jump in here. Because when you're on the subject of peanut butter, you know, this is something that not many people know about, but maybe Wolf Baby does, is that I love peanut butter, really. It's anyway, it's like, but I mixed peanut butter and mayonnaise, tomato ketchup and chili sauce, and dipped my chips in it, my fries
interesting
in it.
Mix.
It's fantastic. Thank you very much, brothers and sisters. Put it on something lettucey or something, and make it good for you, because it is like, it was really rich, but wow, it kicks. It's got the emulsifier. It's got the proteins. It's got the fats. It's got everything. It's a whole meal in a dip.
Anyway, all of my story.
I'm so sorry, but I just had to put that one in. It's just a discovery, and I think I just need to record it somewhere. Anyway, there we go.
All right, so I was laying there in bed. I had the jar of peanut butter in my left hand, and I had a spoon in my right hand, and I was getting little bitty amounts with the spoon, and licking out spoon, letting it melt in my mouth and dissolve, whatever you want to call it, and then swallowing. And I was dozing in and out between conscious and unconscious, sleep and awake. I was going back and forth, and every time I'd wake up, I knew I was awake, and because I'd squeeze the peanut butter jar, and there would be the spoon in my right hand. So I knew I was awake again. I knew that was going on. And there was one time where I started to sink off into unconsciousness. I felt a cigarette butt between my index finger and my middle finger on my left hand. And I dropped a cigarette butt that was lit onto my stomach. And I instantly came wide awake. And I'm looking around for this cigarette that I dropped. Except in my left hand is a peanut butter jar, and in my right hand is a spoon. And I'm looking around because I'm feeling the burn. I'm still physically feeling the pain on my stomach. But there's no cigarette butt. There's that jar of peanut butter in my hand and the spoon on the other hand. I'm like, what the hell just happened? And then they said to me, well, you know how you described how all realities are going through the neck of that funnel and compressing? I said, yeah. Well, another reality right next to the one you're in compressed into that reality where you're at now, and you felt it. Because I swear to God, my stomach was hurting right there where the cigarette butt burned it, where the lit cigarette burned it out. But I'm wearing a shirt. There's no hole in the shirt. There's no fire. There's no burn on my belly or anything like that. And the jar of peanut butter is in my left hand, and the spoon is in my right hand. But I felt that as another reality condensed or compressed into this one. It's the only way I can explain it. Sorry for the crude language, folks.
that's a general sorry in general, is it?
Yes. It's a thought that counts, right?
It really does. It totally counts, Thomas. It really does. So, yeah, so this is really interesting. We've got about 10 more minutes before the end of the show.
Let me just add to that.
Yeah, so allow yourself to add to that.
There's a woman I talked to in California, and I had to tell that experience to her because she's had the experience of her daughter coming to her. Her daughter is not the same general demeanor that she normally is. She's a lot nicer for some reason all of a sudden, and her daughter started talking to her about the boob job she wants, and she has no memory or ever said that she wants a boob job, but her daughter distinctly remembers it, and she's going, wow, did my daughter shift realities? And I'm sitting there going, must have been. Very well could be, just like the cigarette butt that wasn't there. You've got a daughter that remembers you wanting a boob job that you never wanted. So it's happening to other people as well.
So this is an interesting thing, because this is an element of timeline shifting, as people call it. Certainly people that I know and people that I know that are listening have experienced that kind of thing where they experience one timeline that they couldn't have possibly experienced because they were on some other circumstances don't report that history was recorded the same way. How did that happen? We don't know. And there are weird things that happen, and you wake up with a pain in your chest, and where does that come from? Who knows?
Right.
You know, who knows what you're feeling and why you're feeling it, because it's not what you think, and you are not what you think.
Well, and is there any limit to the number of possibilities? I would say there's not. But then, what I would say about this time, and without realizing what I was saying, or realizing in a limited fashion, I was saying as far back as 2010 that the only thing that stands in front of everyone is choice. And so, if all these fractals of other time streams exist, running parallel to this one, or maybe a little diagonal, or whatever the case may be, and they're all going to condense into one, or into a couple or maybe three instead of 2,500 or 35,000. The choice is very simple. Which timeline do we want to, which way do we want to surf as we go through the neck of the funnel? And so timelines are shifting into where we want to be at based on the choices that we're making. That's my theory on it. That's my summation of the evidence at hand. How's that for a theory?
The future will unfold as you want it to unfold, essentially.
Yes.
So, if you want to have a future that involves the New World Order and a complete lack of creativity and the nullification of the human spirit, then go on having shouting matches with the TV and continue watching the television and just keep going down that road. That will take you there if you wish to, but I don't think your dog wants that to happen either.
I would say that there's quite a number of us have already, well, for lack of any other vernacular to use, I would say we've graduated from this experiment already. And the word went out throughout the cosmos, to all galaxies, that this experiment was going on here. And there's openings now, there's room if you want to jump in, come on. And so you have a lot of souls here in this experiment that are latecomers to the whole thing. So they didn't get to go through the whole thing for 25,920 years. They've only been here for 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 years, and they feel like they're not getting their money's worth, and they want this to go on. Well, okay, we'll just do it somewhere else. It's going to be on other planets, but get ready, here we go. And those are the ones that are going somewhere else. I would definitely say that that's part of the group that is moving on to continue with this experiment, because there are a lot of souls that came late to the experiment. Like, I want my money's worth. Okay, hang on. So.
You'll get your money's worth, but not here.
That's right.
Not now. Thank you very much. You have more to learn. Remedial classes start in September.
Yeah.
Oh, school days once more. So here we are. We're at the end of the school cycle. Does your school cycle start around sort of October, September, October?
Actually, the school here starts towards the end of August, 1st September.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
That's not much of a summer. So the first days of September, the beginning of September is a wonderful time, you know. The harvest has started to come in, you know, all the buds have grown, and it's warming up and things are drying out. It's now gone, we're now over the other side of September now, and it's starting to get cold and rather drizzly and rather windy. And I have a problem with my chimney.
Boy.
if the wind is blowing in the wrong direction, the house fills with smoke.
I hope you don't do the Dick Van Dyke thing.
Take my son and kind of throw him
and get up there and start dancing in those brooms and like from Mary Poppins.
Mate, I'm afraid that Dick Van Dyke doesn't really speak Cockney. He does this really weird thing. It sounds sort of Australian, but it's not actually anything to do with the real English accent anywhere, ever. I just want everybody to know that. It's just a thing, you know. Sorry about that, but it's not real. And if anybody does think that, please, what do you want to watch?
At least it's not as bad as mine.
Yeah. Actually, if you watch Doctor Who and listen to the assistants that he has, that's how a real London Cockney speaks these days. It's quite a contemporary thing. And so he always has these kind of Cockney or accented assistants. And by the way, you know, I'm just going to state it here and now that I think Daniel Radcliffe, who played Harry Potter, he should be the next Doctor. Because in my humble opinion, I know he's just a fictional character, and that I'm not really getting over emotional about this, but I just think that it would be a perfect juxtaposition. He's in the right place at the right time to be Doctor Who. If you look at the last few Doctors, he would be a natural progression. Because the Doctor has to get younger with every incarnation. That's his way, because he's Merlin.
Another good actor to cast in that would be the guy that played Professor X in the X-Men First Class. He would be good.
All right.
I forget his name.
Yes. Is he young?
Yeah, he's young.
All right. Well, anyway, but that's my vote. Daniel Radcliffe. Agree or disagree? Who cares? I just wanted to put that out because, remember where you might have heard it first. So, Thomas Hughes, thank you so much for joining us this evening. It's been a really interesting and humorous conversation. I really always enjoy talking to you, mate. I hope the audience has learned something about the galactic history and the way things are from the point of view of some of our other friends who inhabit our planet, who we don't actually know are here. But,
His name is James McAvoy.
James McAvoy, thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
Once again, you've been listening to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio and No Borders Radio. This is JP and Thomas Hughes. Thank you very much. Beyond.